Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. Welcome to On Air Tuition with myself, Numan Panjbaya, as well as Hafiz Hantala Hafiji. The man behind the scene is Brother Ziyad, inshallah, and we're going to be keeping you company right up until 4 p.m. Hope your pens and papers are out, and inshallah, you're ready to take down notes. As you do know, that today, inshallah, we're going to be doing Afrikaans as a subject on our On Air Tuition slot. Let me welcome Hafiz Hantala Hafiz. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Noman.
Hafiz Hansala, today we're going to be doing Afrikaans. We need to get our Afrikaans sorted, you know, us with verlede tyd and toekomende tyd and trappe van vergelyking and whatnot.
Yeah, exactly. You know, just before we came on the program, I was telling someone that today we're going to be doing a program which has been rusted in our minds also. So definitely we're going to get the expert, and I don't think, anyone will be missing out on this show, because, you know, this is one subject that as much as we try to understand, but it seems to get more and more difficult the more we try.
Yes, so if you do have any Afrikaans subject-related questions, then you can WhatsApp us on 072-786-1548. Maybe you don't understand some type of taal, or when it comes to letterkunde or paper 3, whatever it might be, then inshallah, WhatsApp us 072-786-1548. Just a reminder that later on, inshallah, we're going to be having our career segment, and today we're going to be getting someone that's in quantity surveying, inshallah. So he's going to be telling us more about that. What we're going to be doing now, inshallah, in a few minutes, we're going to be having Apanda Sima Mulla, an Afrikaans educated at Bilal Combined School, and she's going to be joining us in a minute or two, inshallah. So if you do have any Afrikaans related questions, Afrikaans subject related questions, then you can WhatsApp us 072-786-1548. It gives us great pleasure to welcome Apanda Sima Mulla, an Afrikaans educator at Bilal Combined School, a writer and motivational speaker on Radio Islam International. Apa, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome.
Jazakallah, wa alaikum salam, Noman. Wa alaikum salam to all the listeners, and most importantly to all our learners out there.
Jazakallah for making yourself available, and of course, what we would say, sacrificing your... can we say precious holiday during this lockdown, Appa?
No, not at all. It's not a precious holiday. It's a very stressful time. I'm very worried about our learners.
Jay.
But, I think educators are creative and progressive, and they will make up for all of this, most definitely.
Sure. Definitely, and we really appreciate the time that you have given us. Appa, without any further ado, we're going to go straight into the questions so that we have enough time, inshallah, to answer the questions coming through from our listeners as well. But before we go ahead, what do you think, why do learners have a negative perception when they come towards the subject Afrikaans itself? They're like, you know what, I failed it, so what's the point? Every term it's the same.
Chief. So, you know, with Afrikaans, I think there's a huge challenge. Learners, they ask us why, they groan and moan, why must we learn it, we don't hear it, we don't speak it, what's the point? But reality, it's an examinable subject. It has to be done from grade 4 right through to grade 12. Just like maths and science, you need to pass Afrikaans. The other thing, it's a language.
Right.
It looks good on a CV. Yeah, and there you will be confronted with it. And it's got such diverse roots.
Sure.
And a mixture of many languages. So I think we should learn it. We should embrace it. And let's just move forward progressively and learn how to pass it and how to get good grades in it.
Mm. But, you know, if you look at Afrikaans, we understand that from one language to the next language, there are always those common problems that everyone faces. And as an Afrikaans educator, what are some of the common problems you have noticed or picked up when it came to the learners?
Okay. As I said, the first thing, Afrikaans intimidates us because we don't hear it every day. It's not commonly spoken, right?
Correct.
The other thing is, and this is a common problem in all the languages and in English as well, educators will say there is a problem with reading. We are not reading English, so what then happens to Afrikaans?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's a bit a huge problem. The other thing, it is a second language. It's not a mother tongue. Words are tricky to pronounce. Words are tricky to spell. In fact, for some of us, even finding the word in Afrikaans, identifying the word in Afrikaans is a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that becomes difficult for learners.
So then how do they overcome this? Because if they have that mindset from grade 4 onwards to say, you know what, I'm weak at Afrikaans, it's not going to help me. I just want to I just can't wait for matric to be over. Even if I just scrape it, it's fine. But someone that really wants to work, how do they overcome these issues?
Okay, there's so many things we can do, right? On the internet, there's a variety of resources people can log into. But sometimes we have all that at our disposal, but we don't know how to use it. So like math teachers will tell you, they'll say practice, practice, practice. In Afrikaans, they want oefen, oefen, oefen. That's important. So all those things you do in taal, practice it. Do it at home. Do it in school. There are many activities in the textbook, which is at your disposal. Take in your handbook, doen die activiteit. Right. The other thing is we need to read, we need to build woordeskat. That's the problem. So vocabulary is sparse. You need to, make a collection of words. There's an emphasis on this. They tell us to woordeskat, find words relatable to everyday objects. That's what they can do in lockdown. Translate everything in the kitchen. Translate your breakfast into Afrikaans. Things like that.
And sometimes when it comes to Afrikaans as well, when they, for example, a student uses a specific type of dictionary, would you be able to maybe inform us or maybe enlighten us as to what dictionary would be the best? Because I think learners normally find it difficult and then their parents try to assist them, but they don't know that sometimes Afrikaans words are, for example, compound words. And then they look for that word in the dictionary, but they can't find it, not understanding that it's two words that have been put together.
Right. The thing is, you're not going to find the compound word. As you said, it's two different words. So the dictionary we use is, it's a Pharaoh's dictionary.
Okay.
It's a very thick one, but it's a super dictionary. And if you can get your hands on that, it's Pharaoh's. I can give you the details. Not right now. I don't have it with me, but that's an excellent book to use. The other problem is this Google Translate. As educators, we've seen it over and over again. The problem with Google Translate is the word order, the word structure, the word order is not exactly correct. And then sometimes it's a mixture. It's Nederlandse Afrikaans. It's very, it doesn't convey the true meaning of what you are trying to say, especially at school level.
And most of the time, it's those kids are taking the English speech and just pasting onto Google Translate, and there's no actual correct sentence construction and grammar.
That's the thing. There's no, the whole, you know, the problem with Afrikaans is the sentence construction. Sometimes you will find a 7-line, 10-line question, there's not a pin, there's not a full stop, there's not a comma, there's not a question mark. And you can't, it makes it, it's frustrating for the examiner. You must know, the thing is, in the FET phase, that writing paper, the transactionele skryf, is 100 marks. There's three components to that for FET. That's the most, that constitutes the most, the bulk of the mark.
So staying to the question, maybe if you can just give us a basic structure of the exam papers before we move to the questions.
Okay. There's a paper one, paper two, paper three. Paper three is your writing paper. That will consist of your essay. Then comes your shorter piece and your short piece, right? So the shorter piece will be either the letter or a report or a Hildebrand's obituary or something like that. That's out of... the essays out of 50, then the shorter piece 30, and the shorter one out of 20.
Okay.
And then the shortest one, that's now your instructions, your anwesings, your directions, your advertency, etc. Now for that, we'll talk about rubrics later. That's paper three. Your paper two is your letter kinder paper, that's out of 70. Now there, that's specific to each school. The poems are, the entire country will do the same 10 poems.
Okay.
But then there are many novels and dramas that learners do. There's Phila Sekund, there's Lean, there's Poppy, there's Valias. It depends. It's school dependent.
Okay.
So that's also very important. And then comes your taal paper. Taal en begripstoets, which is your normal language structures and conventions, your begripstoets, your visuale text, a visuale letterhead where they ask you, there's either a circus tent, a cartoon or a graph or some sort of visual. That's out of 80. And then obviously your SBA component, which you do in class, learners are familiar with that by now. For next term, they should be preparing their TOSTRAC and their articles and things like that.
Appa, you know, understanding the fact that learners are writing three papers in the subject, and majority of the time when it comes to exam, the essay paper tends to be written almost towards the end of the exam. At this moment in time, majority of the learners, you know, you'll notice this amongst the learners where they don't have that interest or that lust wanting to, you know, pay attention and focus or creating that interest towards this essay paper. How is it possible that we can change their perception when it comes to the essay paper?
Okay. The essay paper is challenging, but as I said, remember, it's the bulk of your marks that comes on there. Now, what learners should do, what we've been encouraged to tell them to do, to guide them to do, is build vocabulary. And you can write out practice essays. Right? There's a place for that.
Okay.
What you could do is identify topics. Now, I'm not saying these topics will definitely come out, but it's a way of practicing. For example, let's say technology, voordele en nadele, advantages and disadvantages of technology, or the use of technology in the classroom. There are certain words, you know, which you can identify and learn and use it in an essay like that. So you need to practice. You need to build your vocabulary. You need to practice on that, even if you write out sentences and formulate paragraphs on certain topics. The other thing is in that paper, this particular paper, the format. You know, if you just get your format correct, you're getting a lot of marks. Mm. So the format of the friendly letter, the format of the obituary, the format of an advertency, of an invitation, die uitnodiging, these are the dagboek inskrywing. You know, simple things like that, it's where you can gain marks. There's no way you can lose marks and things like that. And the main thing, learners should realize nobody's expecting college, university, Afrikaans from them. We just need simple, short sentences that give us the message. The boodskap moet daar wees, and, you know, follow your topic. But don't go overboard. And, you know, in English you can spruce up your writing. You can decorate it. But not in Afrikaans. We just want a simple message, and stick to the word count, stick to your paragraphs, stick to your... another thing where they can gain a lot of marks, learners forget this, is your beplanning, in your planning. Yeah. Once you have a mind map and a first draft, you're already on your way to getting a good mark.
Mm. Jazakallah for that, Appa, and I think we'll come to the other questions a bit later on. Some questions coming through. Someone says, Assalamu alaikum, Jazakallah for the awesome program. I've always had difficulty when it comes towards Afrikaans. I'm in grade 11 already, but simple sentences are difficult for me to understand. I have just a very easy one, if Appa can actually go through it and assist me. So okay. I think they're trying to get the verlede toekomende as well as teenwoordige. The sentence coming through saying, Sipo as baby school. So they want, if I can please put it in the different tenses.
Okay, as baby school, that will be your teenwoordige tijd. He is at the school. Now, put it to verlede tijd, Sipo was baby school. Right? That us changes to was. And then to recommend the tijd, your future tense, Sipo sal baby school vias.
Okay.
Sipo sal baby school vias. The thing about the word structure, Noman, we spoke about stompy.
Gee.
Now, learners need to remember, in Afrikaans, the verb is very mischievous. The verb, it needs to be changed sometimes. Sometimes there are two verbs. Mm-hmm. The one verb will go at the end of the sentence. Die tweede verb wordt gaan naar die einde van die sin, you know?
Gee.
So be very careful of your verb, especially when you're writing.
Okay, perfect. So, just going through this whole stompy rule, if Appa can run through it for the benefit of, for example, this listener, maybe with an easy sentence, Appa can provide that, and then they can jot it down, and then we go through what does stompy stand for.
Okay, so let us, for example, let's see, what is stompy, first of all? It's actually a word order. It's getting you to fix your structure of your sentence. It's getting you to place your words in order and not to muddle it up, which can be done very easily in Afrikaans, right? Mm. So STOMPY is an acronym for the S for your subject, T for time, O for object, M for manner, P for place, and in between there's verbs. There's a verb one and a verb two, and then there's your infinitive, right?
Right.
Infinitive is om te, which is usually translated roughly translated to do. I'm going to do this, right? But it changes. Now, that's the thing with Afrikaans, is words kind of alter with regards to what you are trying to say.
Okay.
Okay, so an easy, I'm doing a very simple sentence, right? So, Dishian eat roames. The boy is eating ice cream. So, in that sentence, Dishian is your subject, eat is your verb, your werkwoord, roames is your object. So, that's just simple and plain.
Right.
Right? Subject, verb, object, S-V-O.
Gee.
Now, if we say, the boy is eating ice cream today, we're going to say, Vandaag eet Dishian roames. Vandaag. Now look at your verb there, right? So what you did was, now as we're saying stompy, sometimes that order changes, right? So we have vandaag, which is your time, eet, your verb, sien, your subject, roames, your object. So we changed it a bit.
Okay.
Your verb remained also in the first position there, because there was not two verbs being used. So you need to actually look at your sentence, see if it makes sense, and then see where you need to move your verb to. That's very important. Now, here's another one. Let's see how this one changed. Mohammed eet die roames vandaag. Right? So there we have Mohammed, your subject, eet your verb, roames your object, vandaag. We added in manner, the way he ate.
Gee.
The ice cream, and vandaag, again, today he ate it, now, when he ate it. So be very careful for your word structure, for this word structure. Eventually you're going to also add in om and te, infinitive, which actually forms a basis of forming Afrikaans sentences, which learners struggle to get right. But you see, the only way you're going to get this is if you practice.
Gee. So, practice. Perfect. So, staying to that, just a stompy rule for those that have just listened in. Stompy is what we would say easy way to know how to put your sentence into the correct, or the words in the correct order, so that you can make a logical sentence out of it. But just for the benefit, the S stands for the subject, T for?
S is for subject, T for time, O for object, M for manner,
right.
T for place. Manner is the way something is done, fast. Slowly, angrily. It's your adverb kind of a thing. And then your place, and then your infinitive, which is your omter, which will come at the end. Now, a suggestion also for when you're doing your writing your paragraphs or your essays, they say you should write your sentence and then in pencil.
Okay.
You know, just put there your subject, your S, your T, your V, your O, your M, you know, just see. And then look at it. Look at it carefully and see if you've structured correctly. And read it out loud. Read out your sentences. Read it out loud to yourself. Read it to someone. And really, logic tells you whether it makes sense or not.
Mm. If someone might be thinking, why are we doing the Afrikaans subject in English? The reason is that we're doing basics, above, for the benefit of our listeners, understanding that we have learners that are even in grade 11 and 12. They might be sitting in an Afrikaans class, and when they're given instructions in Afrikaans, it becomes difficult for them to comprehend or to understand. So inshallah, through this, through the basics that we're running through in English for them, that's what assists them, inshallah.
Okay, the thing about Afrikaans in English, we are encouraged to speak in Afrikaans in the classroom. However, there are many guides. The famous one, the blue and orange one, the learners use all the time, is in English. It's totally in English. And, you know, the instructions are in English, and then obviously they fit out to Afrikaans. There's both. But a lot of the guides and materials that have come about now are in English. It somehow serves to clarify things.
Definitely, you know? Indeed. The time is just gone 28 minutes past the hour of 3. Before we go for our break, we do have with us Panasima Mullah, inshallah, who's going to be answering your questions. We do have questions coming through with regards to Leidende and Bedrevende Forum, etc. So we will be answering those. But let's go for a quick break, inshallah. When we return, we have more for you. Stay tuned. We've got Panasima Mullah, an Afrikaans educated Bilal Combined School, and of course a writer and motivational speaker on the line. And alhamdulillah, she's been assisting us with the Afrikaans subject on our learning curves segment, the final one for the week, before we go back to mathematics on Monday, inshallah. But Nasima, going back to the questions, a question coming through saying, may you please do some simple, average and complex examples of Leidende and Bedrijvende Vorm. For the benefit of the listeners, if you can just tell them what is Leidende and what is Bedrijvende Vorm.
Okay. Leidende and Bedrijvende Vorm, something that comes out in the papers, in your TAAL paper, it's just basically your active and passive voice, right? So okay. I'm just going to do a simple example again. Now, you need to know your section on tenses. You need to know your TAA in order to do this. And again, you need to know how to position your werkwoord, that verb okay. You need to know about it. So let's look at the first example. I'm using this example because we are in lockdown, and everybody's making something or some Ramadan steps, and we've been busy with samosa.
Right.
So I'm going to use that example.
Okay.
So we say, ma mak samosas, right? Ma mak. I'm not saying folding samosas. I'm not saying frying samosas. I'm just saying mother is making samosas. Ma mak samosas. That's your active form.
Okay.
Right? You are now going to put it in passive, right? Into the Leidende Vorm. Mm-hmm. So now identify your tense. What tense is that, Noman? Ma mak samosas. That is your present tense. Right. So because it's present tense, now you know the section. When right. you see, immediately when you see Leidende and Bedrijvende, you need to know whether you're using vort here or ist here or saad here.
Correct.
That's the thing with Leidende. So because this is in the present tense, you're going to use vort here. Now the next thing you do is you are identifying your subject,
okay.
your onderwerp and your voorwerp. So obviously our subject is mother, usually someone human or a pet or something. And your object is obviously the samosas. Now, because it's present tense, we're using vort here. We then start off with our object. So we're bringing samosas in the front. Samosas, vort here, ma, khama, right?
Okay.
Now, always you're going to say khama. You have to, that verb will get kh in front of it.
In front of it.
So look how simple was this. If we do the rules. I know I'm doing active and passive voice. I'm now changing to the passive voice. Number one, identify my tense. After I do that, in my mind, I'm thinking, now, am I going to add saad here or vort here? Obviously, it's present tense. I'm putting in vort here. I will change to vort here. Then my object goes to the front. My subject goes to the back. And I'm adding a h to the verb. You know, you see, you need to sit and go through things. Obviously, you need to study it and practice it. So, samosas, vort here, ma, gemaakt. Now, here's another one. Ma het samosas gemaakt. That is already in the past tense.
Okay.
Now, what are we going to do? Now, I know when you see a hat, it's past tense. We're going to put in ist here. Again, my object goes to the front. Samosas, ist here, ma, gemaakt. You see? So, now, and then the future tense. Ma sal samosas maak. Samosas sal dier ma gemaak wordt. So it's this whole active and passive is a word dier, sal dier, is dier. The verb, the position of the verb changes and you're adding in these type of things.
Okay, another question coming through saying, okay, assalamu alaikum, excellent program, jazakallah, Stompy, they've got subject time, O for not, O rather, it's the object, M for manner, P for place.
Yeah.
Right, and then I for the
infinitive.
Okay, so right. They're saying, don't
the
know if I got it.
Infinitive is
onto,
yeah.
Okay, so the I does stand for that, right?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. So someone was trying to take that down.
Okay.
So P stands for place. Jazakallah for that. We're getting one for selfstandig and amvoerde, but before that, there's another one coming through.
Yeah, we're moving on to the next question. This learner wants to know, how do we write the following sentence in on Ken and the forum? As your ma be di vinkel.
Okay, so that's the question.
Gee.
So usually when it's a question, then you're going to start off with near. Near, may ma as ni beri bankal ni. On calendar is your negative form. It's
okay.
Where we're using knees and near, and then there are exceptions. Demand, what demand. The whole thing, it's listed in the textbooks as well. They can go through that.
Okay, I'm trying to make sense of this message coming through. Sing selfstandige naamwoorde in woordorde, like this one. Put it right. Op dinsdag, dit is die speltoets. Werkwoord moet tweede kom in sin. And then it says put it right. So,
I don't know. So what's the sentence?
Op dinsdag, let me just see here. Op dinsdag, dit is die speltoets.
Op dinsdag, dit is die speltoets. Op dinsdag, or op dinsdag skryf ons 'n speltoets.
Okay.
Something like that.
I think I'm trying to understand what they're saying.
Yeah, op dinsdag skryf ons 'n speltoets. Die speltoets sal op dinsdag geskryf word.
Okay, another one coming.
Yeah,
we'll ask them for clarification.
Okay.
Someone says, ek het al my Afrikaans vergeet. Is this correct?
Ek het al my Afrikaans vergeet. It sounds right, but it sounds like they haven't forgotten the Afrikaans.
And I see this is one of our listeners from Durban. Okay, just lucky enough for that. Okay, so Appa, just coming back to Leidende and Bedrevende. We said we have to have the G before the verb, right?
Yeah.
I think just a clarification for the listeners that they shouldn't put a hat in the sentence because of the G.
Oh, no. Don't ever mix this with sentences. There must be no hat here at all. There is a H, I know, but this is not tenses. This is active, and you just leave your H there. Don't put hat in. Don't mix it. Don't make it worse and more gemeng than it already is. So just leave it like that. And also another section, which is my favorite, I guess, because of being a writer. And it's a way to improve also the writing is this intensive form. You know, the one rooi, bloed rooi, wit bier wit, groen, gras groen. So intensive form is very, very nice because why? It allows you to gain marks. It's those one mark questions
in
the topic, but right up to matric. It will be there. It's your educator will do it with you in class. It's also in the guide. It's also in the textbooks. Learn all those intensive. This is something you learn for life.
Okay.
They can use it for their children when they're learning Afrikaans. For example, dit was a skoon slaghuis. It was a clean butcher. Dit was a beer skoon slaghuis. This was in last year's paper.
Tjie.
Something so simple. Die seuns se oë was blou. Die seuns se oë was hemelblou. You know, die kykie was bitte, die kykie was sneeuwwit. So it improves your writing. You're learning it for writing. You're learning it for taal. So twofold. And you're remembering it for life.
Correct. So we regard that as the intensiva forum, correct?
Intensiva forum, yes.
Okay. And when it comes to intensiva forum, would you suggest that learners just try and swat off those words? Because normally in the Afrikaans paper, it would be, for example, here the intensiva forum for maybe, I don't know, like swart or something of that sort.
Yeah, they should learn it. They should learn it off. But you know, as you learn it, it makes sense to you. You eventually learn and what it actually really means, and then you use it in your writing, use it in your speaking. I mean, look how much words we borrow from Afrikaans anyway. Let's just look at a few interesting words, right?
Okay.
We have skoonpa, your father-in-law.
Okay.
And then we use lekker every day.
Nice.
Talking. You're making me nar. there's a nice one, braai, beltong, boerewors, you know, things like that. And then they're such nice. And look at the word spork asem, candy floss, springmillies, popcorn, omaras, fuss and skaces. You know, there's such nice words. Tain slang, a garden hole. So there's nice things that you can use and use in your writing if you learn even these basics.
But you have to have the stuff in order unless maybe someone asks you what spring millies and it'll be like jumping millies or
jumping
something of that sort.
Yeah, kids like to do that. Direct translation story. But there's such nice words also that capture expressions that English doesn't.
Okay.
Carry on.
Now, Appa can conclude there with whatever you were saying.
Okay, now I was just saying certain languages, example, Arabic and Urdu capture certain expressions that English doesn't. And, of course, English captures others. So it's nice to learn. It's nice to make comparisons in languages, learn the words, you know. and you'll see how much more you'll progress in the language.
Definitely. Another one coming through, you're saying, Assalamu alaikum. Apa, I normally find it difficult to understand trap of unfair khalaikan. Would you be able to assist me with just two or three standard examples, inshallah, working our way up?
Okay. The first thing you should learn in trap of unfair khalaikan, it also will be in your grade 12 paper. And it's trap of unfair, it's degrees of comparison. Trap is actually stairs. You're either going up the stairs or you're coming down. So we have, let's look at, for example, an easy example. Let's do it in English. Big, bigger, biggest, right?
Sí.
So then, groot, groter, grootste. Now, your first trap, your first, your foot going on the first stair will be groot, which is your stellende trap. Now, this is how they ask it in the matric exam.
Okay.
Here, the vergrootende trap for the volgende word. And if they're saying for warm, it's warm, warmer, warmster. So, tellende trap is warm, vergrootende warmer, oortreffende warmster. That's your highest degree of comparison. So, I always tell my learners, look at this, remember it like this. Vergrootende has an R in it, and that's your next, your second comparison, usually has an R.
Okay.
At the end, right?
Okay.
In ER.
Sure.
And then warmste is your oortreffende. In that oortreffende, they're using E's to spell oortreffende. The sun usually ends with an E.
Sure.
There
sure.
are exceptions. Learn them. Look in your, you know, your exercises and practice this. That's the only way. Mm. Then they, what, like, you can't, for goed, what is goed? Goed, better, bester.
Yeah.
Goed, beter, beste.
There's no goed, goeder, goedste.
Oh, the challenges that come in Afrikaans.
Jazakallah so much, Abba, for all the assistance. And yes, there's so many more questions, but inshallah, we'll take it over to next week, Friday, inshallah.
Okay. No, but I just want to mention there are a lot of resources present available.
Che.
And actually, from department, the audiobook for Lean. Lean is one of the matric resources. There is a link to it.
Okay.
If you, I can give my contact details if I'm allowed to.
And you can.
They actually encourage us to send this audio book out for Lean.
Okay.
They want learners to read the book. And sure. then, okay, so they can contact me on this number.
Okay, if you can,
okay,
you can say it out.
083.
Right.
253. 1989.
Okay.
So there's, then there's a lot of information on Fila Second.
Okay.
And this Lean audiobook is very good.
Sure.
So, yeah, then, well, anything I can help with during this time, there's a whole team of us available to assist, so they can let us know.
Jazakallah so much for your time as well as your efforts, Abba, and inshallah, if anyone does require the number, then they can contact us or they can WhatsApp us, and we'll forward the number, inshallah.
Okay.
Jazakallah so much for your time. Assalamu alaikum. That was Abba Nasima Mullah joining us on Radio Islam International on the learning curve, and Abba was assisting us with Afrikaans as a subject, which we find difficult, even those that are in matric, afizanzala. But inshallah, through this, we're starting with basics, so it will assist them as they prepare for the second term of the June exams. Let's go for a break, inshallah. When we come back, we have Brother Faizan Ibrahim telling us more about quantity surveying. Stay tuned. So we just had the Afrikaans subject segment, and if you do require Abba Nasima Mullah's number for assistance in Afrikaans, then you can WhatsApp us on 0727861548, and inshallah, definitely, we will be forwarding you her contact details, and she has a lot of resources with regards to the subject Afrikaans itself. Okay, so it now brings us to the career guidance segment, and if you have been following us the past few programs, then alhamdulillah, the amount of feedback that we've got has been phenomenal, and it's a way of assisting our learners, those that are in grade 9 choosing the correct subjects to go into grade 10, and of course those that are in matric thinking what should they go into study. This is going to help you, inshallah. If you do want us to what we would say, go into a specific career or get someone from a specific career, then you can WhatsApp us as well, and we will definitely try and find someone to speak to us on air about a specific career choice. It brings us now to Brother Faizan Ibrahim, who has a BSc honours in quantity surveying and has studied at the University of Witwatersrand. At the moment, he's working for Arrow Quantity Surveyors. Yeah, QS joins us on the line. Brother Faizan, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam, jazakallah for having me.
Jazakallah for your time. Yes, let's go straight into the questions, Brother Faizan. You were in school, someone asked you, what do you want to become? And you said a quantity surveyor. If you ask someone in today's time at a school, what do you want to become? He says, I want to do QS. Tell us what's it about. I'm sure it's not about just seeing how much stuff people have.
Yeah, so basically in terms of what quantity surveying is actually about, so a quantity surveyor is a financial consultant of the construction industry. So basically he or she provides cost advice and contractual arrangements in order to prepare various contract documents for construction projects. So as a QS, you're required to work alongside other industry professionals such as architects, different engineers, and contractor itself who's responsible for building the project. So yeah, that's essentially what QS is about.
Okay, so sounds interesting there.
Brother Faizan, if you look at it, a lot of learners do not even know what subjects to do when it comes to choosing this particular career after schooling. Can you advise us, what are some of the subject choices learners need to make in a grade 9 or grade 10 once when they want to pursue this career?
Okay, so I would recommend doing any course that consists of pure maths firstly, because you need strong numeric and analytical skills. Physics also, as we do that subject in first year as a full year subject, it's quite challenging, to be honest. So having that physics background in school, it would definitely be to your advantage. Accounting as well, we do that in second year. It's a short course, but I know many people that didn't do accounting in school actually struggled with it. So yeah, accounting would be a good subject to choose, and geography. Personally, I didn't do geography, but in second year, we also did a subject called engineering surveying. So that has to do with geography as well. So yeah, those four, I would say, are the important ones to choose.
Okay, and then it brings us to the duration as well as what the admission requirements are if someone wants to go into QS. I understand that there is a limit that is put when it comes to someone that wants to study quantity surveying. How many do they take, for example, average per university? And what's the admission point system, or what score is required?
Okay, so if I remember correctly, in first year, we were about 200 in our class.
Okay.
And in terms of the admission requirements, back in 2015 when I was in matric, it was 36 APS points.
Okay.
And there was also a minimum of 60 in maths and English. But now, obviously, that doesn't guarantee that you get into WITS. But I would say, to be safe, you should look to get at least 70 in maths and English. So, yeah, it depends on the number of applicants and obviously the marks of those applicants as well.
And understanding the quantity surveying is not an easy course. Brother Faizan, tell us, as your years went, as you went through the years, tell us, what do you think? What's the dropout rate like? And what kind of mindset must you have when you go into university, understanding that it's a huge jump? Grade 12, you baby fed in class, everything is given to you, all the assistance is provided, you go into university, and then you're left on your own. What's been the rate like of students staying in quantity surveying?
Okay, look, so in first year, the course was quite challenging, to be honest, because we did subjects like maths, stats, and physics.
Okay.
So those three were quite difficult. I know many people actually dropped out in first year or didn't pass at the end of the year. But once you complete first year, then it isn't too bad from there on. You just do more group work and stuff like that. And yeah, the course itself, I would say it is challenging, but it's manageable. As long as you work consistently and stick to your deadlines, you should be fine. Mm-hmm. The good thing about the course is that it's very diverse, you know, as you do subjects in all different departments such as law, economics, math, stats and physics, like I mentioned, and obviously then your construction subjects itself. So, yeah.
Brother Faizan, can you describe to us a typical day at work?
Typical day at work. So I just recently started working, so I don't know too much on that, but as a consultant QS, there's a wide range of services that are required of you. Some of the main duties include conducting calculations in terms of estimating and cost planning. So what we do as quantity surveyors is we take architect's drawings.
Okay.
And from there, we'll do measurements and use rates in order to produce a bill of quantities, which essentially provides a client with approximate cost of how much it will be for the specific project. Then we also do advice on stuff like property development, contractual advice in terms of which contracts are best suited for the projects. And as a QS, you're also required to visit construction sites from time to time to conduct valuations for work in progress. So as a consultant quantity surveyor, you'll be more office-based. But if you're working for a contractor or a builder, then you'll be on site most of the time. Yeah, that's a typical day at work.
Mm. So you wouldn't regard quantity surveying as just someone that counts bricks?
Yeah, that's what many people think it is, but there's a lot that goes into it. It's a very stressful working environment.
Gee.
But it's enjoyable at the same time, you know, because personally I like challenges, so yeah, it's a good thing to do.
Alhamdulillah. Tell me, what's the scope like? Is there a core, what you would say, a big request coming through from huge companies or, you know, private public companies to say, you know what, we need people that are QS or quantity surveyors? Is there a scope for it? Do people need to really consider going into it?
Okay, so in terms of the scope, back in 2015 when I applied to get into VATS, when I matriculated,
sure,
many industry professionals actually encouraged that I pursue the course. They were saying, you know, there's a lot of jobs available. It's a good course to go into.
Right.
But unfortunately, the way things are today, especially in the South African economy,
sure,
in the construction industry in particular, it's quite difficult to find jobs, especially as a graduate. So, yeah, I myself, actually, I found it quite tough to even get an interview at first. But alhamdulillah, things did turn out to work out. But it's not looking too good at the moment.
And even understanding that you just you studied as well as you got your honors as well. Now, tell me, when it comes to the course, you said the duration, is it 4 years?
Okay, so the course comprises firstly of a three-year degree in construction studies.
Okay.
And then once you complete your degree, you then have a choice to pursue your honors in quantity surveying or construction management. So your honors is 1 year of QS or construction management.
And I understand even after doing honors, the scope or what I would say the job opportunities are not as much as someone else would get for doing honors or their masters. And from that, we can understand that at the moment, it's not easy. But if you do plan on going, then inshallah, put your foot forward. If you do want to study QS, go into it. Before Hafiz Hanzala speaks money to you, Brother Faizan, tell us quickly, was it something you planned on doing since you were in grade 9 and were you just one mindset to say, I'm just going into quantity surveying?
No, in grade 9, to be honest, I wasn't sure exactly what I was going to do. But I spoke to quite a lot of people. I even went for career counseling and stuff because I was very confused initially. But I think it was in grade 11 or so where I spoke to a few people, and yeah, from then I was quite adamant to do the course. So from grade 11, I wanted to do quantity surveying.
Brother Faizan, let us talk about money. You know, when it comes to money, that's the first thing a lot of people actually, or rather, let's say students, you know, that's the first thing they want to focus on when it comes to salary. Can you tell us what's the starting salary like for a person studying this career?
So as a graduate, I would say a decent salary would be around 15,000.
Okay. And does it make a difference if, for example, you have honors?
Yeah, no, that definitely does make a difference. I'm not sure exactly how much it would be. If you just complete your degree in construction, but I'm saying with honors, it would be around 15,000.
Okay, so that's interesting as well. I don't know, anything, what we would say in 30 seconds, your message to those that are listening, the matriculants, as well as those that are in grade 9, confused as to what to choose, what subjects to choose. Tell us quickly, what's your words of motivation for them?
I would say for now, don't panic. Mm-hmm. Just work hard for now. There's plenty of time to choose what you want to do.
Right.
Yeah, for now, just work hard, be humble, keep your head down, and inshallah,
and
things will work out well. Yeah.
Amen. Definitely, yeah. So at the moment, just put all your efforts in and make dua, perform your salah, and inshallah, through that, something will open up definitely.
Inshallah.
Jazakallah so much for your time, Brother Faizan. It's been a real pleasure having you on Radio Islam International. And inshallah, we hope through this guidance of yours, someone can make the correct decision.
Jazakallah so much for having me.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
There was Brother Faizan Ibrahim, an individual who has a BSc honours in quantity surveying, and alhamdulillah, he's completed last year with his honours at the University of Advaita Seran. Alhamdulillah, the message is coming in with regards to the different courses we need to have. For example, someone saying journalism, another one coming through saying occupational therapist, another one saying CA. Okay, so we do have someone for accounting, inshallah, someone that studied accounting on Monday, inshallah. We're going to be having that individual on Tuesday. We're going to be having someone doing graphic designing. So I think we're also trying to get a pilot also on board. So all those individuals that are just, what we would say, fresh from campus, someone that's just coming out of campus and knows what's it been like, what's the courses like, we're going to be having, inshallah, someone different on a daily basis. It's been awesome in your company. Inshallah, we'll be on with you next week, inshallah, on Monday on the Learning Curve. But myself and Hafiz Hanzala will be on with you on the Nazam Hour tomorrow, inshallah, from 5 to 8 p.m. Till then, assalamu alaikum
wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh.